Matthew's calling in from Ohio, and Matthew says he believes that what convinced him of God's existence will also convince atheists. So, Matthew, welcome. You're on the line.
Hey, Eric. Hey, Matt. How's it going?
Pretty good.
Yep, doing good.
All right. Good to hear it. I heard Eric say about after the top of the J that there are many Christian gods or many versions of the Christian God. And I know, Matt, you used to be a Christian. Would you say that's the case for you as well, that you feel like there are many Christian gods? Like, coming out of Christianity, would you feel like there's so many versions, or there is one intended version of God and many people are just missing it? Or how would you look at that?
Well, I'm not convinced there is a God. And yet I know mm-hmm. a lot of people would say, oh, I believe in the same God as the person sitting next to me. And yet mm-hmm. I think that there are almost as many different versions of God as there are people, because I think each mm-hmm. individual injects something different into their God concept. So they can be incredibly mm-hmm. similar. Like most all Christians are pointing to something very similar and yet different in specifics.
No, I agree 100%. There's that my own personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I imagine it to be their own personal Jesus Christ. When I hear that, I'm a Christian 100%, super religious, but when I hear people say my personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it just kind of rolled my eyes, and it's just like, you mean your own personal relationship with your own personal Jesus? Because I believe that the relationship with Jesus should be interpersonal, meaning that we should all be able to come up with the same Jesus.
I would think so too.
Interrogate it by ourselves.
Yeah, because if I've got a girlfriend and she goes to a different school and you don't know her, that's the kind of thing that we say when we don't actually have a girlfriend, but we want people to think we do. But if in fact I have a girlfriend and she goes to another school and she shows up at my house and I can introduce you to all of you to her, then all of you now know this same person, no matter what you suspected before. So you're saying, Matthew, that what convinced you of God's existence, you think will also convince atheists. And I promise I'm not just being a dick to be a dick. I'm less concerned about whether or not it would convince atheists than whether or not it would convince a skeptic, because there are plenty of boneheadedly stupid atheists who are incredibly gullible. So, but no matter what you mean by it, I want to know what convinced you, so we can find out whether or not what convinced you should convince me and Eric.
Right. And I'm a skeptic myself, and I was a skeptic before I came to Jesus Christ. And
this should be, this should end all of it then.
Well,
like,
I would
literally
say I believed in,
so a skeptic is someone who doesn't want to believe something until there's sufficient evidence for it. So what you're saying is you have sufficient evidence for a God that you think should convince us. Awesome. I'm going to be a theist by the end of the day. Let's have it.
I hope so. When I was young, I believed in God just as much as you believe in goats, like in ghosts and the lights are out or whatever, right? But when I was about 18, someone told me about Jesus and the Bible. At least I knew about Jesus before 18, but I didn't read the Bible until I was about 18. And I was like, I don't care about Noah's Ark. I don't care about miracles. I don't care about any of that stuff. I just want to know what this Jesus guy has to say and if it's legit. And so when I started reading what he was saying, I was like, oh, these are, you know, a lot of atheists, oh, he has good words. But I was like, yeah, these are really good words. I understand what he's saying. I get what he's saying. And what Jesus says, and I kind of kick myself, because for 10 years I've been trying to convince atheists through science and all this other stuff. But for me, what Jesus says, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So to me, it would be, you have to go through Jesus Christ. And that's how I came in. So for me, if I came in through Jesus Christ, why am I telling everyone else to come in through all these other means to convince them? So what I noticed is that when Jesus says,
I'm curious. Are you saying that the evidence that convinced you was when Jesus says that he's the way, the truth, and the life, or is the evidence still coming?
No, the evidence that convinced me was after acknowledging Jesus as who he was and entering a relationship with him that is interpersonal, not just personal, I started to see who he was, and I started to see the truth of God and the truth of the Father and all that. So my point is, what convinced me is coming through the doors. That, this is why I ask, are there different versions of Jesus? Because according to the Bible, Jesus says that no one comes to the Father but by him. So the only way to believe in the biblical God is to go the way the biblical God tells you to go, right? Even if you don't believe in it at first. But
how do you, when the Bible says no one comes to the Father but by him, how do you know that's true?
Mm-hmm. Right, because I took him up on the offer.
Okay, you do realize mm-hmm. that I was a Christian from the time I walked down the aisle at the age of 5 until I was well over 30, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's why I asked in the beginning, do you see that there are, is it possible that there are different versions? Like, for example, I'm sure you've heard the no true Scotsman fallacy, right?
Many, many times.
Many times.
I've done multiple videos on it.
Mm-hmm. Just because the no true Scotsman fallacy exists, does that mean that every time somebody calls out an imposter, they're using that? They're invoking that fallacy. Are they in danger or guilty of that fallacy?
No.
Right. Right. I agree. And so, that is
about whether or not you can demonstrate something's not true. I'm asking you how you can demonstrate something's true. And so you're saying,
right,
the evidence mm-hmm. that convinced you is after you acknowledge Jesus, you started to see who he was. Well, I acknowledged Jesus at 5, and mm-hmm. saw who he was and preached and taught who he was and lived that life for decades, and then found mm-hmm. I didn't have any good reason to believe it. I failed mm-hmm. to see what your good reason is. And if you're going to say right. you have to try it in order to get the evidence, mm-hmm. first of all, that's an incredibly dubious sales tactic. Like, hey, I've got a really great investment strategy, but you've got to start mm-hmm. by investing your money. But also mm-hmm. considering I tried it, what I guess Eric's probably going to have questions mm-hmm. about the skeptical aspect of this, because genuinely, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to no true Scotsman you on the no true skeptic, but what you've mm-hmm. described does not fit as with skepticism on how I would evaluate whether or not a claim is true. Because if the thing is, start living your life as a Christian, start reading and studying mm-hmm. the Bible to find out what Jesus said. Number one, I have no evidence that any of the things that are in the Bible that are attributed to Jesus are actually said by Jesus. And mm-hmm. I have no evidence that even if Jesus said them, that they are in fact true. And I have problems with what Jesus said, and I'm doing an entire series of videos on just the red letter edition of the Bible, going through the things that are attributed to Jesus to show where they don't make sense. Why would Jesus curse a fig tree for not giving fruit when it wasn't in season? Why does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. To me, that makes sense to me, because he is God, and if he tells it to do what he wants it to do and it doesn't do what he wants it to do, then he's showing an example of that. He says, bear fruit.
Matthew, yes. Are you suggesting that if God told a fig tree to bear fruit, the fig tree mm-hmm. could refuse?
I don't necessarily say that it can refuse. I think that was a teaching moment. I think what he was basically saying was, using it as an example for us, who he tells us to bear fruit, and if we do not bear fruit, then we basically be cast away.
So
why couldn't Jesus just say as such, rather than using a convoluted, confusing little act?
And I agree. Yeah, no. And this is one of the things I see with atheists. They'll say things like God does weird things, or they don't like things that God do. That doesn't mean he doesn't exist, or doesn't mean he didn't speak these things. And for me, I think that's weird.
No. We're not going down this route of what you think you've heard atheists say, or what arguments atheists might do. It's not up to us to demonstrate that a God doesn't exist. It's up to you to demonstrate that a God does exist. I don't need an example of things that are irrelevant. I need you to actually answer the question. So if Jesus is walking along
Mm-hmm.
And let's just read it.
Yeah.
So Matthew 21, starting at verse 18. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves. And he said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presented the fig, and presently the fig tree withered away. Now you're trying to say that Jesus was trying to make some statement about us and whether we bear fruit or not. But the actual text says he was hungry. He saw a fig tree and it didn't have fruit on it. So he cursed it. At no point does it say he commanded it to grow fruit and the tree refused. So that, I don't know where you got that. But if it's not fig season and the fig tree doesn't have fruit on it, then only an idiot would expect there to be figs on a fig tree that's out of season, right?
I can see
would
that.
Would an all-knowing God possibly expect a fig tree to have figs on it when it's not fig season?
That would be like me going into the supermarket to buy strawberries when they're clearly not in season, and then I burn down the supermarket because they don't have strawberries.
I don't know. I wouldn't give the same analogy, but I understand how it sounds strange, right? And I'm not here to justify the or try to but it was this and that. It sounds strange, but good.
So Matthew, what we're getting at here is how are you confident that this is actually an accurate representation of something that happened, that Jesus actually lived, and that this writing here accurately reflects what he did and said? Because let me put it this way. I'll give you two choices here. Which is more plausible? That this is an accurate telling of God's son or God himself on earth having a beef with a fig tree as a teaching moment, or somebody wrote this in an effort to promote their religion. What's more plausible?
To me, the first one, because someone wrote this having to present their religion or whatever it is. I wouldn't know what person
So you said that the first would be more plausible. So now let's examine a different holy book. Let's look at the Quran. The Quran says that Muhammad ascended to heaven on a winged beast. What's more plausible, that actually happened, or somebody wrote that in an effort to promote their religion?
I would say that the second with Muhammad.
Okay. What's the difference here? Because from my point of view, they're the same.
Yes.
Two different holy books making spectacular claims. So, okay, you understand. So tell us, what do you have on the Bible side that trumps the Quran?
Right. So with the Quran, from what I believe, that the hadith, there's a hadith that says that Muhammad had this experience and wrote the Quran. Muhammad having this experience and wrote the Quran is not in the actual Quran. It's the hadith that says that Muhammad had done this. And then there's a whole bunch of different hadiths, and no one knows which one is the right hadith. So for me, with the hadith and just Islam coming, Islam kind of reminds me of Mormonism, the same idea where it's just like the Bible didn't answer certain things, so let us answer it. So for example, the fig tree situation, maybe that sounds strange, and maybe there's some type of understanding that was missing or something. A book like that would bring it out and say, oh, this happened, and that's why the fig tree didn't bear fruit. And then
you're putting out a lot here. So you're saying that the Quran is missing certain things that would require in order to believe it. You're saying the Bible has those things? But even if that was true, I accept your explanation that the Quran is perhaps incomplete or there's things in it you don't like. But how does that at all add credence or weight to the Bible? Couldn't they both be wrong? Couldn't they both be the case that just somebody's writing this to promote their religion?
100%. Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Your dismissal of the Quran as, you know, just an update on the Bible seems problematic, since the New Testament is just an update on the Old Testament. So couldn't a Jew be as dismissive of Christianity because of a fig tree problem as you are of the Quran?
Yeah, I can see that being the case.
Yeah. Sure. Islam so is derivative.
How do we, as skeptics, we have Judaism, mm-hmm. we have Christianity, mm-hmm. and we have mm-hmm. Islam. How do we, as mm-hmm. skeptics, determine which of those is correct, if any of them are correct?
Yeah, I would say examine it, right? I would examine the Quran.
That's not, Matthew, that's not only not an answer, that is the least skeptical answer anybody could present. Examine it is a cop-out. I have examined all of them. I'm asking what criteria can we use to determine which of the three, Islam, Christianity, Judaism, is right, or if any of them are right? You can't just go with examine it. What's the criteria?
Yeah, I would have
to, what's the methodology?
I would have to go then with what convinced me from the beginning of this talk, what I came here for, right?
And what convinced you is to try it, and then you saw things that you liked. How is that a demonstration of truth?
Right. And I didn't see things that I liked. I saw things that I didn't like, especially about myself, right? It wasn't just like, oh, I like this.
There's nothing about you in the Bible. There's nothing about you in the Bible. You didn't see anything about yourself. That is you injecting meaning and seeing things that aren't the Bible. I guarantee you, Matthew, despite the fact there's a book in there that has our name on it, you and I are not in the Bible. So what's the criteria to show
true? Would you say that the Bible, at least, even if it's just a made-up holy book, there are certain ideas in it that tell us about human behavior?
Yes, just like every other holy book.
Right, so that's what I mean by I saw things about me. I'm not just like delusional.
Matthew, if you examine it, and you examine all of the holy books that men have ever written, is the one that appeals to you personally the one that's true?
No.
Okay, then how do you tell which one of them is actually true? If it's not about your personal preferences, what is the criteria, the objective criteria that you and me and Eric can use to tell which one is true?
Mm-hmm. So I can only go by what the Bible says, right? And
you can't only go by what the Bible says. The Bible is not true just because. I'm asking, what is the criteria? What is the criteria that determines truth?
Right. So please let me explain, and I'll try to be brief. So when the Bible says this is how you come to know the biblical God, I'm going to have to come to know the biblical God by how the Bible tells me to come to know the biblical God.
No, that is literally a circular argument, Matthew. That is literally you saying the only way to do it is to do what the Bible says. That's a load of bullshit that no fucking decent skeptic could possibly utter. What is the measure of truth? Not what does the Bible say? It's how do you know that the Bible is true? Because it's not true. You would agree with me that it's not true in a number of things, right? Bats aren't birds. The order of events in Genesis for the creation does not match what science has discovered about this. You would agree with me probably that it's wrong to actually enslave people and own them as slaves and beat them as long as they don't die within a couple of days. All of those things I would hope we would agree on, right?
Yeah, I would say beating your slave and all this stuff. I don't like that stuff.
But I don't care if you like it. It's in the Bible, right?
Whether it's true or not, that's not a concern.
It's in the Bible.
I don't like something, whether it's true.
It's in the Bible, right? It's in the Bible, right?
It's in the Bible, but
so there's something in the Bible. So there's something in the Bible that you don't like. How do you know that it's wrong?
Whether it's wrong or right, morality is subjective, right? So whether it's wrong or right doesn't depend on me.
No.
Okay.
What is the foundation of your view on morality then?
I don't really have a morality. I'm just obedient to God.
Okay. I don't know what criteria you've used to call yourself a skeptic, but I wish I had the power to revoke it right now. That last statement, that last statement of you saying mm-hmm. that you don't have a moral criteria, you're just obedient to God. What does God mm-hmm. want, and how do you know what God wants? Because if God's okay with slavery and you're not, then you're not obedient to God, are you?
Well, I'm sure you know, because you said you were a Christian, and I'm not challenging on this. I'm sure you do know that at least a Christian can say, oh, no, I follow the New Testament, not the Old Testament.
No. What's in the Old Testament? Original sin and every prophecy, everything that potentially leads up to the New Testament. You don't get to just dismiss the Old Testament.
I believe in the Old Testament. I just don't follow the
rules
of the Old Testament.
Really? So you believe that slavery is okay?
I believe that slavery happened and God sanctioned it. Whether I think it's okay.
You believe that mm-hmm. God said it's okay mm-hmm. to own people as property.
I believe that.
Okay. Why would is God good?
It really depends on what someone means by good.
Okay. Well, you have a really strange version of Christianity. Your version of Christianity is as strange as your version of skepticism. So you worship a God that you don't think is good.
I worship a God that I don't agree with 100% of the time, all the time. But I trust that, just like a child may not agree with their parent, but they trust that their parent knows what they're doing, even if they seem like they don't know what they're doing.
So you're going to trust that God's right about slavery?
I'm trusting that he knew what he was doing in that time, and I'm not one to go and try to question it and be like, well, you did this. Like, if I believe in God, remember, I'm coming as somebody who believes in God, right? And if I was to draw a circle, and in that circle, I was to shade in how much knowledge I know, I wouldn't even shade. I would just put a little dot. So I know there are things that I don't know about God. And have you ever experienced something that...
What do you know? What do you know about God? Name one thing that you know about mm-hmm. God that you can demonstrate. One thing.
That he wants me to keep his commandments.
How do you know that?
Because he says so.
How do you know that?
Because I kept his commandments and I see the results thereof.
You don't know, no God has ever said anything to anyone as far as I can tell. How do you know what God wants?
Because I kept his commandments, and when I keep his commandments, I see the results.
Where did you get his commandments too?
But what difference does it make whether or not you keep his commandments as to what God wants? If God wants something, he has to communicate that to you. How do you get information about what God wants?
Through the Bible.
How do you know that the Bible tells you what God wants?
Because going back to the beginning of this, I took Jesus up on his offer. I entered to the door of Jesus Christ. He says, I am the door, right? So I kept his commandments, and keep my commandments, he will manifest himself onto me. So now that I kept his commandments, he manifests himself onto me, shows me that he is God and that he is truth.
No, sir, that's not how anything related to truth or skepticism is determined. You have a wholly circular argument that doesn't demonstrate truth of anything to anyone. Everything that you've said comes down to, this is what I believe.
Well, would you say that the biblical God says, being that Jesus is a biblical God, says that the way to know the Father is through him?
I don't know.
Whether you believe it or not.
Hang on. Mm-hmm. Does the Bible suggest that? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I mean. And I'm not trying to like say, you don't believe it. So
I'm asking, this is the thing that mm-hmm. you keep missing, Matthew. I'm asking, how do you know that what the Bible says is true? Especially when we already know there are things in the Bible that aren't true, and there are things in the Bible that most of us find morally repugnant, which would be absurd mm-hmm. from a good God. But you've just thrown a good God out of the window. You're just going to blindly follow whatever you think the God of the Bible wants. I wish prayer worked, because I would pray for you to have your brain and humanity restored, because what you are advocating for right now is blind slavery obedience to a concept that you don't have any reason to think is real and that you don't even think is good. How fucking embarrassing is that?
Well, so
Matthew, now that
we've real. Yeah,
but Matthew, now that we've come full circle all the way back around to I've read things in the Bible and I took it to heart, and that's why I believe. Mm-hmm. We talked mm-hmm. about how you got there, and what we're trying to ask you is how do you justify this, and how do you distinguish this from other forms of faith? For instance, mm-hmm. we can have mm-hmm. a Muslim who says the same thing about mm-hmm. the Quran and the Hadiths. Mm-hmm. I've read stuff in there, I took it to heart, I put it to practice, and I now feel this personal relationship with Allah. So the same mm-hmm. claims you're giving us, except about a completely different holy book with contradictory claims.
If I may, it's not about feeling, but that's the difference. It's that I was tracking for a moment, but you said, because I feel, it's not really about my feeling. Sometimes I feel bad, sometimes I feel good about things I have to do that God told me. So it's not just about
It's true, though. You feel it's true, though, right? You feel that it's true. You think that it's true.
I would say I know it's true.
You think it's true.
I can be challenged.
Well, I know. Understand you claim. So Matthew, right. I understand you claim to knowledge. Let me mm-hmm. frame it differently. Okay. Let's mm-hmm. say that I, as an atheist, I pick up the Bible, I read mm-hmm. it, and I ponder it, and I pick up the Quran mm-hmm. and I read it and I ponder it, and I say, mm-hmm. using Matthew's criteria, his process, I choose the Quran and I'll believe in Allah. Let's say that I just mm-hmm. did that. What did I do wrong?
I don't think at this point I don't think you did anything wrong.
But I chose something contradictory to your position, right?
No,
because obviously you think your religion. Do you think that your religion is correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think that the Muslims have it wrong?
Yes.
Okay. I use your process with both mm-hmm. holy books, and I chose Islam.
Yes.
What did I do wrong? I chose the wrong answer according to you. What did I do wrong?
No, I don't think you did anything wrong at the moment. I think that's right. Like if you feel like that is the truth.
Hold on, Matthew. Hold on. I'm sorry. I don't mm-hmm. want to interrupt you, but getting to the point here. We're really getting to the point here. Yeah. Your methodology is flawed. If your methodology can be used to come to the correct answer and the wrong answer simultaneously, mm-hmm. then it's a flawed methodology. We don't need to use it. And you shouldn't be using it either.
That's not my methodology. I would say that's more of a bit of straw manning of my methodology. And not to be rude, with all due respect, I think
we just went full circle. Okay. I'm sorry, Matthew. Maybe we did misunderstand what you just said. So tell us succinctly, mm-hmm. one or two sentences, what's your methodology?
Right. So my methodology is trusting in the words of Jesus of what he said.
I trusted in Allah and the words that he said, and I did it.
Okay. And then did it produce any results? As you're going up through your life, does it produce any results?
Sure. I walk around feeling a little bit better. I walk around, I feel better. I see the results of it. I now have a Muslim community that I can gel with and have social interactions with. Yeah, my life improved when I became a mm-hmm. Muslim.
Okay.
Is there anything else you can give us?
Hypothetical. No, for me, this is a hypothetical. I've seen Muslims. I spoke to Muslims. I speak to a lot of Muslims. And to me, I see a lot of dishonesty. I see a lot of craftiness.
I've spoken with Christians.
Matthew, you might be the king of dishonesty.
I've spoken with Christians. Pardon? I've seen Christians live miserable lives. I've seen Christians mm-hmm. totally not living to their full potential. Mm-hmm. I mean, your criticisms of Islam and their followers can be levied right back at Christianity.
Oh yeah, I would say there's a lot. This is just like we talked about in the beginning. I think there's a lot of people that claim to have this personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I don't believe that's true Christianity. And I know the no true Scotsman fallacy can be invoked, but
I'm not invoking the no true Scotsman. I'm going to ask you, how do you know that's not you you're describing? How do you know you're not fooling yourself?
Every day, someone asked, or I had a question asked to me, how do I know God is real? And I constantly experience God being real every day. I believe God is truth and reality, and I experience that truth and reality.
How do you know you're not fooling yourself?
You don't even know what truth is. How can you believe God is truth?
Well, truth is the reality.
You just redefined God to be truth, and you've already demonstrated you have no path to truth.
Well, Jesus says he is the truth. He says, I'm the way, the truth,
I don't give
and
a
the
fuck
life.
What no Jesus one... said. Tell me what Jesus said one more time when you can't prove Jesus existed, you can't prove Jesus said anything, and you can't prove that Jesus saying he is the truth means that he is the truth. You don't get to do any of that.
I mean, that's,
but Matthew,
that's
by your own admission, Matthew, by your own admission, Muslims misinterpret their feelings and come to a wrong conclusion. You said that Christians also do the same thing. Christians also come, you have bad Christians, they follow this process, they come to wrong conclusions. My question again is, how do you know this is not happening to you?
Because for me, I don't go by feelings.
Paul, bullshit. Shit. If
Matthew,
you listen
if you
back
wrong,
to this call, it's nothing but feelings.
Pardon?
Go ahead.
Matthew, just for one moment, just for 20 seconds, just entertain the idea that you're wrong about your process and you're wrong about your conclusion.
Sure. Yeah.
How would you know? How could you test that? How would you know? How would you falsify this?
How would I falsify it?
It would
have to be that the wisdom that God has given me was something that I made up, and it just luckily so happened to be applicable to my life. And luckily so happened to work well with my family and my marriage and stuff like that.
Listen to
so
you.
So I can
can't
give
even
you,
answer
so
this
Matt,
question, honestly.
As flawed as it is, I'll take it. He'll have to be convinced that what he read and what he believes improved his life by coincidence. And if I'm framing that incorrectly, please correct me if I'm wrong.
No.
I tell you right now. All right. Let's just remove coincidence and let's just come to the conclusion that the Bible was written by humans with human problems and human outlooks. And you as a human down the road read something written by humans about human problems and human outlooks. And some of that resonated with you. Because I'll fully admit there are some scriptures in the Bible that are super apt. Like there's some stuff in the Proverbs and in the Psalms that are amazing. But that's not evidence that a God wrote this. That's evidence that somebody who was insightful wrote these things. Like there's a scripture in Proverbs that expectation postponed makes the heart sick, but the thing that comes when desired fills you with life. Like beautiful poetry, but it's a reflection of the human condition. We've all anticipated something and longed and been sick over wanting to get it, and then once you get it, you feel great. That's
well,
what the proverb writer wrote. So, hold on, Matthew. Let me cap it off, Matthew. I'll cap it off and let you talk. My point is, the Bible is written by humans, so it's going to resonate with other humans. You're a human, so the Bible resonates with you. That's not evidence that God exists. That's just evidence that you've read something another human wrote, and it happened to apply to certain aspects of your life. But also, by your own admission, there are things written in the Bible that don't resonate with you, such as slavery. Probably also, I'll go out on a limb here, drowning everybody on earth, human sacrifice, destroying cities with fire and sulfur. I'm pretty sure none of those things resonate with you. Why, as a skeptic, are you dismissing those things and only latching on to the things you like?
Well, when I don't dismiss them. If I don't like them, doesn't mean they didn't happen. Right, just because I don't, and I'm sure you would agree with that, right? Just because I don't like
you,
doesn't mean it didn't
happen.
I'm
not saying you deny they happened. I'm just going to accept. I'm just going to think that wholesale. You accept what the Bible says is true, and those things actually happen. But you obviously disagree with them. These things do not resonate with you. Slavery, owning people as property, does not resonate with you, by own words. So why are you just discarding and ignoring those things, and then accepting the things that you like, cherry picking, and then still call yourself a skeptic?
No. I don't discard them, or I don't like. Oh, I don't like it, so it doesn't exist. They happen.
That's not what I'm saying.
How it said it happened. Okay.
You can't honestly listen to and honestly address what Eric said. You are backed so far into a corner now. You are a cartoon.
Yeah. So basically, Matthew, in a nutshell, you're saying that you read things in the Bible, you put it to work.
Well,
and you felt and you experienced improvements in your life, or however you want to frame it, something changed in a positive way that convinced you. And I'm telling you, I'll recap the entire conversation. We have Muslims doing the same exact thing, yet coming to contradictory conclusions that you hold. You, by your own admission, say Christians do the same thing, but they also believe in the wrong things. And then you say that you rely on the Bible and scriptures in order to use to feed this into your methodology, and that's how you come to your conclusions. But then we just went over how there are things in the Bible you just simply don't add to that process because they're either uncomfortable, or you don't like them, or you have moral conflict with them. Not that you deny they happen, but that you just simply don't like them. I don't see this as a consistent methodology at all, mainly because you're selectively inputting the evidence, cherry picking, and you're also ignoring the fact that this process can give you a bad conclusion, as I stated earlier. So Matthew, at this point, I don't see how you can recover with this line of argumentation at this point, because this is not going to convince me. Go ahead.
So you mentioned the Proverbs and reading and, you know, human problems and stuff. So the thing that I see with the Muslims that convince me that they are incorrect is when I see their behavior. And that's what I mean. I don't just mean like it resonates with me and my life got better. The way that I am as a human being has changed. And so when I see the word, and this is something that I'm doing a little bit different when I talk to atheists, and I want to do it moving forward. I don't want to do it any other way, talking to atheists about God's existence. When I see the Bible defining, if I'm a biblical believer, and I see the Bible defining what it means in order to know God the Father, right? And the only way to get people to know that God the Father is through Jesus, I'm going to have to accept the idea that even if I don't like it, I want atheists to believe in science and come that way and all this stuff. Even if I don't like it, this goes back to the whole resonating and cherry picking, which I don't think I'm doing, because there are things in the Bible I do not like, but this doesn't mean it didn't happen. Even though I don't like it, I have to say, this is how you come to know the biblical God.
Why do the things in the Bible that you don't like not lower your confidence that the Bible is true? Why are you because in this ratcheting faith mode where things
foolish,
can only go
would,
push
it
up?
Foolish to think, it would be foolish that something that I don't like makes something not true. There are a lot of things that happen in our life. I don't like gravity. I don't like that children fall down because of gravity. I wish they can float and not die when they fall off bridges or whatever.
Oh my
right?
God.
But doesn't mean gravity doesn't exist. Doesn't lower my confidence
in
gravity.
Matthew, your whole appeal to the Bible was you read things in the Bible that are not objective. I mean, I guess they can be considered objective claims, like, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and other things. But the Bible also makes these other claims, and you're only feeding the claims that you agree with into this methodology. You're not allowing claims that you don't like, claims that go against certain things, like, for instance, omnibenevolent, omnipotent, omnipotent, the omni-God. That allows slavery.
We're not giving an omni benevolent God in the Bible.
Is your God all loving?
He's not even convinced
God
is good.
Of love?
He doesn't even believe in a good God, let alone an omni benevolent God. He doesn't know anything about morality. He is not advocating for the character of God at all. Just that he exists, and if you follow him, he does things that you can interpret it as beneficial to you. I mean, Matthew has tossed out everything about Christianity in any orthodox sense, that God is good, that God is the arbiter or the origin. He tossed all that out because he, as a skeptic, can crap on Muslims and pick and choose from what the Bible what he wants to ignore or not. Not that he says it's not true. So when you have a book that's written by a God that might be good, might not be good, it doesn't matter if it's wrong about stuff. It doesn't matter if it advocates for slavery. Mm-hmm. Matthew has invented a useless God in his mind.
So, Eric, you mentioned something about me not liking things in a methodology. I don't like the methodology that the only way to know God is through Jesus, because, you know, obviously it gets me in situations like this where people are like, well, I don't care what Jesus has to say, and I don't want to come to God, whatever. So I don't like it. Well, that's what I'm trying to explain. Like, it's nothing that I like.
So it provides you. No, stop. What it does, Matthew, is it provides you with excuses. It gives you the illusion of thinking that you believe something is true with no responsibility or requirement to demonstrate it to anybody. You just get to say, oh, those people don't, I don't like that methodology. It doesn't matter. I mean, God can come up with a stupid methodology and we can complain about it all we want, but it's God's methodology. And if you want to be right with God, then you'll do the stupid methodology. Well, I'm sorry, but it's stupid. The methodology that leads you to God is irrational, based on fallacious reasoning, is not a reliable path to truth. Why on earth could you advocate telling other people to throw out logic and reason, to throw out fallacies, and just go ahead and go with something because the Bible says so?
Right. Matthew,
I would say
Go ahead. I'll interject afterwards. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would say I demonstrate it through behavior. That's the demonstration for me, and not only for me. Remember, I said in the beginning that it's an interpersonal relationship with God, right? So it's not just
Matthew,
me, it's with other
people
as well.
Yes. Matthew, the question that I just asked, your behavior is completely fucking irrelevant to the question that I just asked about sound epistemology. Mm-hmm. Why would you mention your behavior if your behavior is irrelevant to whether or not an epistemology is good?
Well, my thing is, I mention behavior because it's relevant to the whole thing, how I see it.
No, it's not. Just like before, when another caller suggested we were too critical, and that's why he couldn't give one example, you are now suggesting, when I say, how can you advocate for an epistemology that throws out logic, that dismisses and relies upon logical fallacies, how can you do that? And your answer was, I show by my behavior. Your behavior is completely, 100%, completely irrelevant to whether or not your epistemology is sound, correct?
I would disagree with that.
Then you're fucking wrong. In the most obvious and ridiculous sense. There is nothing about any epistemology, the method by which we determine truth. There is nothing about any method that by which we determine truth that is contingent on Matthew's fucking behavior, and it is beyond absurd for you to suggest that there is.
Well, the reason why I would suggest this is because, as Jesus says, he says, let your light so shine.
I don't give a fuck what Jesus said. You can't prove that Jesus ever said anything, Matthew. Are you ever going to acknowledge a fucking legitimate question that I asked? Or are you going to, how is your behavior remotely relevant to how someone determines truth? Last chance.
You unmute me and then it says how someone, and then I hear a beep. So I'm not sure if
how is your behavior relevant to any method of determining truth?
Okay. So for me, I would say that because of I have to go with,
I'm going to mute you. We're going to start again because it seems that we have a misunderstanding. The words for me are irrelevant. An epistemology is either sound or unsound. And I'm asking you how your behavior is relevant to how an epistemology is sound or unsound. Do you understand the question?
So when other people see my behavior, they realize that there's something different about it that is with what the Bible would be considered divine. And so that divine behavior.
No, Matthew. When people see your behavior, they want to fucking punch a wall because you are boneheadedly dismissing rationality. Your behavior is irrelevant to whether or not an epistemological model is sound. And here's the proof of that. If there is a sound epistemology right now, Matthew, if there's a sound method to determine the truth and you die, does that sound method become unsound?
No, it does not.
No, it does not, which means your fucking behavior has nothing to do with whether or not that model is sound, correct?
Well, it's not. My behavior correct. Is based on God. So,
correct? So, correct?
Can you ask that again? Can you ask that again?
If you die, your behavior had no bearing on whether or not that model was sound, which means your behavior while you're alive has no bearing on whether or not that model is sound, right?
If I die,
Oh my fucking God. Matthew, listen very carefully. Do not wait for your turn to speak. Listen very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
An epistemological model, a means by which we can determine truth. If it is sound and useful and produces truth, does that change if Matthew dies?
No.
Does it change if Eric dies?
No.
Then how can how Matthew lives be relevant to changing it? Does it change when your behavior changes?
No, because my behavior
no,
is not based
on which means
me.
Your behavior isn't relevant to the method, correct?
So the method is...
Jesus fucking Christ. This is so fucking Matthew. Embarrassing, Matthew. I just hand-walked you right up to the fucking water, stuck your head in, and said, drink, and you're like, no, I won't do that.
Matthew, well, can somebody improve their behavior? Matthew.
No,
Matthew,
you don't get to explain methodology. You don't even know what one is. I'm going to shut up and let Eric go.
Matthew, can somebody improve their behavior based on a lie or a series of lies?
Yes.
Okay. So somebody's behavior and what comes after has no bearing on the truth of what actually compelled them to do these things, right? So your behavior...
Only if this is
you're
where
changing
the
answer?
Caveat. I agree. Yeah, I agree, but
okay,
I would like to make a caveat if I can.
Sure.
Only if the methodology says that the behavior of what God can do, the evidence of what God can do is in your behavior. So the reason why I say my behavior is because my behavior is what we would call rotten God. It's shown
Matthew,
that God has changed my behavior. Yeah.
You made Matt a Benenship. Matthew, can this apply to Muslims as well? Can a Muslim say, God's watching you, God wants you to behave? Everything else, including those statements, be a lie. Let's rewind. Allah is watching you. Allah wants you to behave. All those things be a lie.
Mm-hmm.
It compels somebody to better behave, and it still be mm-hmm. false. Yes or no?
Yes.
Like okay. So the reasons you're giving us, you're trying to paint them as they only apply in Christianity. Your special pleading.
In fact, your methodology
in itself. Saying that I read the Bible and I do what Jesus says, and that's how I know Jesus exists, itself is circular. Your methodology is excluding automatically anything except Christianity.
Would you agree that it's not my methodology, but the methodology of the Bible that the Bible presents?
No. I think this is your thing.
Okay.
You may have read scriptures that seem to support your methodology, but I think this methodology mm-hmm. is for the most part your invention.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, but when the Bible says that no man, not that Jesus is saying this, but the Bible says no one knows the Father but by me, no one can come to the Father but by me, wouldn't that sound like that's the methodology that you come to know God according to the Bible?
I have no idea. Maybe there's a God who doesn't care if you get to know him or not. Maybe there's a God that only reveals himself to people who don't believe.
The Bible. I just meant according to the Bible, not like any other gods. Just biblical,
what difference does it
speaking.
Make what
yeah.
the Bible fucking says? You don't get to just assume that the Bible is true. You have to prove it.
That's fair.
I'll accept that the Bible. Let's roll with it, Matthew. Mm-hmm. Let's roll with that. Let's just say, okay, that's the methodology the Bible puts forward.
Mm-hmm.
How is that methodology not unsound? Like, how can you tell if that's a sound methodology? Because automatically it's excluding other religions. It's just simply saying God, which is the God of the Bible.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's assume that it's not sound. I just want to clarify that this is not my own personal methodology. Would that be correct?
All right, I'm talking about a methodology for truth, not a methodology for Christianity.
Yeah.
The Bible doesn't present a methodology for discerning truth. And if it did, it wouldn't be contingent on Matthew's fucking behavior, because Matthew isn't in the fucking Bible.
So, hey, Matthew, let's try this from a slightly different angle. I got this off of Pierce Watkins. He gave me this, he used this strategy a couple weeks ago, and I liked it a lot. Mm-hmm. Let's pretend an alien lands tomorrow. Alien lands here on Earth tomorrow. Mm-hmm. His name is Alan the Alien. Yeah. He has about the same intelligence as us. He has about the same knowledge of the universe as us.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to convince him to worship the God of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And you're using this methodology.
Mm-hmm.
What objections do you think he would come up with?
The only objection I can think of is if he doesn't want to try it.
Maybe he would say, why should I trust this book, the Bible, that you're presenting me? Why should I trust this book? Let's start there.
Well, for me, I would say you should trust it because I looked into it and I experienced it. Just as an example, I've experienced it, so I would suggest that you give it a shot because I believe it's true.
Alan the Alien says, okay, I'll try that. He reads the Bible and he comes back and he says, yeah, I don't feel anything. I see issues with this book.
Because that wouldn't be the methodology. The methodology would be keeping Christ's commandments.
So again, you're back to a circular methodology. You're saying you're baking in the requirement of Christ in the methodology. That's the unsound part. That's the circular
this
reasoning
part. This
calls
almost an hour of my life that I'm not going to fucking get back.
Matthew, you're not being skeptical because your methodology you're begging the question with your methodology. You're not being skeptical with this. This is unsound. And we already went over this 30 minutes ago because you can come to the wrong conclusions with this methodology.
I wouldn't say I'm being skeptical with this because I've already experienced it, right? I already know it to be true. So what I'm saying, what I just want to clarify again, just to solidify that this is not my in my head came up methodology.
Oh my God,
this is the methodology that the Bible gives.
Shut the fuck up. What is your proposed methodology for truth? Answer that now or I'm done. What is your proposed methodology for determining if a statement is true?
Yeah. Say it like you're saying to Talon the Alien.
Like, well, I would say experiencing it, hearing it, and seeing it for me too myself.
No, no, no. Your statement is now wholly rejected. People's experiences are prone to interpretation, and people interpret their experiences wrong all the time. People can't even remember what words someone uttered. I'm still talking. What words someone uttered just a few seconds ago. I've had to ask you the same question multiple times because you can't keep the question focused in your brain to give an example. Your experience is not the measure of truth.
Well, I don't mean like your personal experience.
I don't care
what
you mean, Matthew. I'm done with you. I don't care what you mean. You felt it was so important to say this wasn't your methodology while making me argue for 5 or 10 minutes to demonstrate that your personal fucking behavior is irrelevant to methodologies to determine truth. Anybody that makes me fight that hard to establish the most fucking obvious thing that I hand-walked them up to is no longer deserving of my time. Congratulations on making Jesus look like a fucking buffoon.
So,
goodbye. I can't, an hour. There is no chill left after an hour. If all I have to do is say, if you don't know, how dare you call in? I'm a skeptic, and I think that my reason would convince any atheist. Yeah. I don't think that the reason Matthew gave even makes sense, let alone should convince anybody. But his compelling reason for Alan the Alien, or was it Alan?
Mm-hmm. Alan the Alien.
Alan the Alien is, you should try it because I tried it, and it worked great for me. Well, hell, I've heard that about heroin. I've heard that about Islam. I've heard that about anything and everything. That is not the path to, you know, but there's all these other people and they tried it too and they seem to be enjoying life. Yes. Well, neither Eric nor myself have any illusions about whether or not believers believe and whether or not they credit their belief with lots of positive effects. The issue is here is, can you demonstrate it? You know, like when the guy called in earlier to say that God healed his dog, how do you demonstrate that? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about a methodology for truth. And when you're just like, oh, you experience it. No. Yes, it's true, before anybody writes in, that everything is something we process through our sense experience. And so it will all be through sensing it. But we all know when I'm saying that, I'm not talking about, is your sense data actually reliable? It's about, are you able to take that sense data and reach an accurate model of the world from it? That's the issue here. And your experience is not the accurate model of the world. Your experiences lie to you all the time. Optical illusions, auditory illusions. I've seen some that are just amazing optical illusions. Stuff's moving when it's not, when there's absolutely nothing moving, things changing colors, not being able to see things. And it's all exposing in some cases, physical problems with our eyes, where there's essentially a dead spot where the optic nerve comes in, to physical limitations of rods and cones, all the way up to how our brain manufactures reality. Every single one of you out there, your brain is inventing a model of reality all the time. You aren't, when you look out and you have this big field of vision, you aren't looking at that entire field of vision the entire time. Your eyeballs will scan around, but also your brain is picking out different things, which is why you can get attention and inattention blindness. The very idea.
Right now, there are 3,000 people watching this stream, and each one of them is forming memories of these conversations that we're having, and even us talking right now. And at the end of the stream, there's going to be 3,000 different versions of what just occurred. There'll be commonalities and some major differences. You'll have people that are in direct contradiction with each other about, no, Eric said this. No, Matt actually said that. No, actually, Matthew on the call actually said that. Like, this type of sensory evidence, there's a reason why we don't rely on it very much in courts. There's a reason why we rely on objective, demonstrable, repeatable evidence in things like science and in court proceedings over a sensory experience, eyewitness testimony, because we understand the problems with this. And Matthew calling in and saying, well, you just have to, first of all, you have to start with the premise that Jesus is wanting you, it exists, and he wants you to come and get to know him, because then that's the methodology of you seek Jesus and you'll find Jesus. Exactly. Not understanding that's the jump that we can't make there, Matthew. That's the jump that we were trying to get you to acknowledge, that you are taking a leap with Alan the Alien. He's there. He's a blank slate. He's never heard of Jesus. He's never heard of Muhammad or Allah or anything like that. And you're just telling him, read this book, accept that a guy named Jesus or a God named Jesus exists, and this book accounts his stuff on earth, and just accept. Like, that's your methodology. And there's a reason why we don't do that, because we have all kinds of reasons to doubt the text, to doubt the personal experiences of you and even of myself. I was a Christian at one point. I've had experiences. I got good reasons to doubt those things. I have good reasons to doubt all the Christian experiences. I have good reasons to doubt all of Muslim experiences. These are things that you have to overcome with your methodology, account for, and eliminate out of that methodology in order for us to take it seriously. Because until you do, we're not going to do that.
Hello, I'm Jimmy Snow, Pokemon Master and Executive Producer on the line. Would you like to support a specific show on the line or the line in general? There are special tiers on our Patreon and in our channel memberships. You can do just that. By the way, you could consider leaving a super thanks down below. You could also like, subscribe, and leave a regular comment. All of these are great. Now, I'm going to get back to crushing loneliness, but while I do that, why don't you check out one of these?